స్వామి శ్రీ ప్రభుపాదకి, అంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి, శ్రీ రామచంద్ర భగవానికి, రామనవమి మహామహోత్సవకి తాయి గౌరి ప్రేమానందే. Sorry for the delay. So today, because it's Ram Navami, we won't be taking a Bhagavatam verse. We'll start with a beautiful verse from a composition that glorifies Lord Ram. This is called the Naam Ramayana. So I'll write the verse over here soon as the display gets ready. So Naam Ramayana is basically 108 verses or 108 names of Lord Ram that summarize his entire life. So in the bhakti tradition, reciting the entire Ramayana is considered to be a very pious thing to do. So, but when you cannot connect, when somebody cannot recite the entire Ramayana, it's said that you could just recite this Naam Ramayana and they will also get similar benefit by that. So we'll be trying to, we'll recite one particular verse from that today. So, we'll be discussing, I'll explain the meaning of this verse and then we'll move forward. So, this is Kapivara Santata Samsmrita Rama. Kapi is a monkey, that is, Kapivara is the best of the monkeys is Hanuman. Kapivara Santata Samsmrita Rama. Always, constantly, they were remembering Santata Samsmrita Rama. They were constantly, the monkeys were remembering Lord Ram. And what did Lord Ram do in return? Tadgati, on their path. Vigna. Vigna is obstacle. Dhamsaka. Dhamsaka is the Lord reciprocated with their remembrance by removing obstacles from their path. Dhamsaka Rama, such is the Lord Ram that we glorify. So let's begin with our prayers before that. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanishalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There's another device in that. Can you just check that? So just a minute. Sorry for the delay.
So let's just recite this verse quickly, and then we'll discuss something about Lord Ram today.
So these are two names of Lord Ram, Kapivara. Kapivara is, as I said, the best of monkeys. Santata, always. Samsmrita. Samsmrita is remember. Kapivara, Santata, Samsmrita Rama. Tad Gati, on their path, their progress. Vigna. Vigna is obstacle. Dhamsaka. Dhamsaka is to destroy. So the basic principle of bhakti, that when we remember the Lord, the Lord destroys the obstacles on our path. Kapivara santata samsmrita rama. Samsmrita rama. Tadgati vigna dhvamsak rama. Dhvamsak rama. Kapivara santata samsmrita rama. Santata samsmrita rama. Tadgati vigna dhvamsak rama. Kapivara santata samsmrita rama. Santata samsmrita rama. Tadgati vigna dhvamsak rama. Dhvamsak rama. Kapivara santata samsmrita rama. Tadgati vigna dhvamsak rama. Dhvamsak rama. Once more, let us try to do it all together, if possible. Kapivara santata samsmrita rama. Tadgati vigna dhvamsak rama. Kapivara santata samsmrita rama. Tadgati vigna dhvamsak rama. Last line. Kapivara santata samsmrita rama. Tadgati vigna dhvamsak rama. Thank you. So I'll talk about Lord Ram today from three perspectives. I'll talk about the distinctiveness of Lord Ram from the broad Vedic perspective. Then I'll talk about from the Vaishnava perspective. And then we'll see if there's any significance of Lord Ram within our particular tradition in the Gaudiya Vaishnava perspective. So we'll try that way, try to take a closer and closer look at Lord Ram. Now, the concept of avatar is the idea that there is a higher world, there is a spiritual world, and there is a material world. And from this higher world, the Lord descends down to this world. That descent is called as avatar. So it's like there are clouds in the sky with lots of rain, but on the earth, if there is a severe lack of water, there's a drought, then when the rain comes, then water becomes available on the earth. So like that, the spiritual world is filled with the flood, with the abundant water of Krishna consciousness, of God consciousness. Whereas the material world is like there's a drought of Krishna consciousness over here. Drought of divine consciousness. So when the avatar comes, the avatar beings, like a rain of divine consciousness. And this avatar, there are many different avatars who come into this material world at different times. And among the various avatars, each of them has their own mission. That is, each avatar on one side has a universal mission, and then there is a specific mission. So the universal mission is described in the Bhagavad Gita, that at one level there is to establish dharma. That to establish order in the world. And for establishing the order, the Lord does two things. He empowers those who are virtuous. Paritranaya sadhunam. And then he disempowers. Sometimes the disempowerment may even involve destroying them. Those who are vicious. But along with that, so this is described in 4.7 and 8 in the Bhagavad Gita. Dharma samsthapanarthaya. But along with that, there is another mission of the Lord, which is to inspire love in the heart. Prema. That is, so generally in the broad Hindu tradition, the verse Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuga yuga is very widely quoted. If you look at Srila Prabhupada's work, Srila Prabhupada quotes the next verse, Janma karma chame divyam, much more. That Krishna comes not just to establish order in this world. That is definitely there. But sakale neha mahata yogo nashtaha parantapa. By the power of time, the order of this world will give way to disorder eventually. The ultimate, the enduring purpose of the Lord, when there is a descent, actually the descent of the Lord, there is a divine descent, and that is meant to inspire the human ascent, the rising of the human consciousness. So when we hear the pastimes of the Lord, when we understand how loving and how glorious He is, then by that, we become attracted towards Him. And when we become attracted towards Him, then Krishna says, Naiti Mameti, that person comes to me, attains me. So that, to inspire love in the heart, through bhakti that culminates in love, that is described in 4, 9 and 10. So we could say this is the, so to establish dharma in the world, to inspire prema in the heart. So we could say this is almost like a, you could have an inverted funnel. That dharma is for all of society. Now prema or bhakti, culminating in prema, that is for those people who are seeking it. Krishna, devotion or love cannot be forced. It needs to be inspired. So the dharma is established. And bhakti and prema are inspired. Now, this is the common purpose of all avatars. Now specifically, when the Lord descends to the world, at that time, each avatar has a particular purpose. Now we could say that when Lord Ram descended, who was the demon? Who was the vicious person who had to be disempowered? That is Ravan. Yes. And then the Lord freed the pious people from his clutches. The devatas appealed to him. Now that is definitely there. So that's a specific application of that universal purpose. But along with that, there is something more going on over there. It's also that if we look at the Valmiki Ramayana, each book has its own driving question. So for example, the Bhagavatam, its driving question is that what is the question that is being answered throughout the Bhagavatam? Yes, so duty at death. Now, the Gita is a part of the Mahabharata. And the Gita's question is about duty, dharma in general. That's why the question that Arjuna asks Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, when he surrenders, Pruchhami Tvam Dharma Sammoodha Chetaha. I want to know what is dharma. Now if you go to the Ramayana also is a similar deliberation. It begins with Valmiki Muni asking Narad Muni, who is his guru, that who is an ideal person? What are the characteristics of an ideal person? So the idea is the same principle of duty or dharma, but here it's more specifically in terms of attributes and examples. What are the characteristics of an ideal person and what is the example of such a person who is ideal? So now in response to this, Narad Muni tells a brief story of Lord Ram. He gives a summary of his pastimes. And then Valmiki will be, just like in the Bhagavatam, it's described that after hearing in chapters 4th, 5th and 6th of the Bhagavatam, Narad Muni speaks to Vyasadeva. And then Vyasadeva enters into a samadhi. Samadhina anusmaran. Anusmaram vicheshtitam. He remembers the Lord's pastimes. And then the Bhagavatam unfolds. So something similar happens in the Ramayana. So he hears the core pastimes, the summary. And Valmiki Muni enters into a trance. And he then speaks the pastime. So the whole, in one sense, the purpose of the Ramayana is to demonstrate how one can stick to dharma. How one can do the right thing even amid difficult situations. So because of this specific purpose, within the Ramayana, now I'm talking here specific in terms of the Valmiki Ramayana. The Valmiki Ramayana's purpose is to demonstrate the character of an ideal person. So sometimes when there is a movie, here right now we have Hollywood, hundreds of movies are produced. Sometimes some movie is like a one person show. One hero or one heroine. And that person carries the whole movie. And everybody else is just like an extra. But some movies in which every character has their own personality, their own backstory. Every character is fascinating. And when that happens, the story becomes even more absorbing. You could say the illusion becomes better in one sense. But the point is that especially a movie is considered good when it doesn't just depend on one person. When the supporting cast, they are also very, very well played. Their characters are well written. So like that, if you see, this book is called Ramayana. But in Ramayana, every character is special. Undoubtedly, Lord Ram is the center. But it's not like Lord Ram is the show stealer. Is that Lord Ram, he is extraordinary, but even the character of Sita is extraordinary, the character of Lakshman is extraordinary. And among the various books of the Ramayana, the sections of the Ramayana, the most popular is the Sundar Kand. Sundar Kand is where Hanuman goes in search of Lanka, goes to Lanka or in search of Sita, and his adventures are described. And the significance of this particular story is that the verse which we recited, that is depicting the Sundar Kand. So what happens is, in this Sundar Kand, it is the most popular part of the Ramayana. And yet, Lord Ram is least present in this. So how it happens is, right at the beginning, Hanuman is sent by Lord Ram. Lord Ram gives him a signet. He says, if you find Sita, show this to her. Then she will know that you are an authentic messenger sent by me. And then after that, it's Hanuman's adventures. He's searching for Sita. He's becoming a natural leader of the group. Hanuman is not appointed as the leader of the group who is going. Angada, the son of the previous King Vali, is the leader. Many times nowadays in management circle, leadership circle, they talk about like authority without influence. Sorry, like influence without authority. Like if you don't have an authority position, but how do you acquire influence? So Hanuman does that. And the Lord gives him intelligence at various times to do that. And then again Lord Ram appears at the end. When Hanuman comes back and reports that he has found Sita, and the Lord embraces him. So apart from this, Hanuman is not present much in the most popular section of the Sundar Kand. Ram is not present. Sorry. I guess my intelligence is not present now. Thank you. So now, I was talking from a Vedic perspective. The concept of avatar, it is meant to inspire the human ascent. Certainly. So the human ascent is what? It is not just that the Lord does wonderful things. The Lord empowers Hanuman to do wonderful things. And we will discuss this theme a little later again. But the point is, when we devote ourselves to the Lord, it is some people feel that, okay, if I become devoted, I'm chanting Krishna's names, I'm glorifying Him. What about me? Do I lose my individuality? Do I lose my personality? No, not at all. Actually, our purest, our noblest, our highest side starts manifesting. And the more Hanuman tries to serve the Lord, the more he starts becoming more and more powerful. So the Vedic understanding is the Lord descends to this world. Now the idea of avatar is accepted even in the impersonalist traditions. But their idea is, avatar is just like a temporary or a convenient illusion to come out of illusion. But in the Vaishnava understanding, the avatar, so moving from the Vedic perspective to the Vaishnava perspective now, because the mood of bhakti comes more in the Vaishnava perspective, that the avatar descends to inspire love in the heart. And the bhakti that is inspired, that is eternal. It is not at all temporary. It is not that we have bhakti till we become liberated. There are many retellings of the Ramayana that have been told from an impersonalist perspective also. Because the Ramayana in India became so popular over time, that different people started using the Ramayana to try to promote their own agendas. So the impersonalists retold the Ramayana in such a way that, okay, ultimately Ram merged into the Brahman. There is another retelling of the Ramayana called the Jain Ramayana. So the Jain Ramayana, what it is, Jainism is a relatively small but influential religion in India. Influential because Jains are known to be quite wealthy. But now, these Jains, they retold the whole Ramayana. More or less the story is the same. But what they did in that is, when Lord Ram is in the forest, throughout he is meeting various Jain sadhus. And they are giving him instructions. And then, at the end, when Sita enters into the earth and returns to where she has come from, then they say, Ram becomes enlightened and embraces Jainism. So, everybody tries to portray things from their perspective. This is called like misappropriation of tradition or appropriation of a tradition by some other tradition. But so that's why I'm differentiating. In the Vedic understanding, there are Lord Ram is understood in many different ways. But the Ramayana itself is a Vaishnava book. And the Vaishnava understanding, the love between the Lord and the devotee is eternal. And that's why when this particular theme is focused on, that bhakti is about inspiring, empowering the devotees. So what, I'll talk about two incidents which illustrate this dynamism of Hanuman and Ram. Hanuman in one sense is the quintessential servant. Srila Prabhupada said that for the spreading of our movement, now we need Brahmanas with a Kshatriya spirit. We need Brahmanas, means people who are thoughtful, philosophical, intellectual. But if somebody is only a Brahmana, they will just be satisfied with their own thoughts. Okay, if somebody wants to come and learn about the thoughts, that, okay, you can come and learn. But if you don't want, I won't bother about you. So in general, what happens is, Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. So Brahmanas are concerned more about inner change. They're concerned about improving their thoughts, thinking higher, learning better. Now, Brahmanas are important in society. But if they are only Brahmanas, now we are talking here about Brahmanas not at all by birth, but by attributes. Now, Kshatriyas are concerned about outer change. Kshatriyas want to improve things in the world. Now, of course, they also want inner change. But they want to make outer change in a way that inner change will become easier. So now, for them, they want to improve things.
Now, if Srila Prabhupada, of course he was a Vaishnava, but if he had just been Brahmana, wanting to improve thoughts, he could have just lived in Vrindavan. Prabhupada left Vrindavan at an advanced age to come to America. Why? Because he wanted to follow his spiritual master's instruction and create change in the world. If the whole world cannot become spiritualized, at least there will be oasis in the spiritual world where those who want relief from the desert can be there. So that same mood of like a Brahman and a Kshatriya spirit. Hanuman is a quintessential devotee. Like that, Hanuman is often shown with folded hands, but within those folded hands, in between them, there is a mace. You may have seen that picture. So the idea is, the folded hands convey bhakti and the mace conveys shakti. So bhakti is that inner devotion. Shakti is the power to bring about an outer change. That's very similar. Like Prabhupada said, Brahmana with a Kshatriya spirit. So, for a devotee to actually bring about change in the world, that there is an inner and outer. That inner vigor is required for purifying our hearts through a sadhana. But outer vigor is also required to help people come to Krishna. Help people come to the Lord. So, Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha, the Bhagavad Gita says. Mam Anusmara is improve your inner thoughts. But Yudhyacha is fight to, we may not have to fight a physical war, but fight whatever challenges we face in life so that the service that we are doing manifests in the form of tangible results. So, now I'll talk about this, how the remembrance of the Lord actually removes obstacles from our heart. When Hanuman went in the search of Sita, as I said, in the Valmiki Ramayana, in the Sundar Kand, there is not much presence of Lord Ram directly. But when Hanuman comes back after going to Lanka, now he has been told to find Sita. He not only finds Sita, he gives a warning to Ravan, and not just a warning in words, he gives a warning through actions. He burns nearly half of Lanka. The point is not wanton violence. The point is deterrence. That Ravan is thinking, what can this human and monkey do to me? But he wants to show him how powerful they are. And when he comes back, it's like, say, we are told we have to go and distribute at least 50 books, and somebody goes and distributes 5,000 books. Oh, it's extraordinary. So Lord Ram hears about what Hanuman has done. He becomes so delighted. The Sri Vaishnava commentators, they describe that Ram is thinking, you know, what can I give to Hanuman? He has done such service. But he says, I am a pauper right now. I have been exiled. I have nothing with me. There's nothing I can give except I can express my gratitude with an embrace. And then he pulls Hanuman into that embrace. You may have seen that iconic image in our Krishna Bhagavatam art, it is there. Now Hanuman is being embraced by Ram. And when the Lord offers his embrace, at that time, what is Hanuman thinking? Hanuman is thinking that this form of the Lord is actually the shelter of the goddess of fortune. This is the greatest treasure in the entire existence. There is nothing of as much value as the form of the Lord. And he feels completely satisfied, ultimately enriched by that embrace of the Lord. So, that embrace is, in one sense, the ultimate reward for Hanuman, for all the services that he has done. And when we talk about that, the Lord embracing the devotee, that means basically, the Lord is pleased, extremely pleased. So,
while the Ramayana goes through various deliberations about what is the right thing to do, its conclusion in one sense is that the right thing to do is that which will please the Lord. Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. And Hanuman demonstrates that pleasing of the Lord. So, dharma can sometimes be very complex. Oh, should I do this or should I do that? Should I act in this way or that way? But the Gita also concludes in paradharma. Paradharma is that which pleases Krishna. That sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. So, now we may say that, how do I know what will please Krishna? That is why we have the process of bhakti. In this process of bhakti, we get guidance from our guru, we get guidance from our various shiksha gurus, we ourselves practice sadhana. But overall, if our intention is, Krishna, I want to do that which will please you, then the Lord becomes pleased. So Hanuman demonstrates that desire to please the Lord. And because he has that desire, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayantite, that I will give you the intelligence by which you can come to me. So at various points in life, when we are lost, knowing not what am I meant to do, at that time, if we just remember the Lord and try to have that service attitude, the Lord will remove obstacles. This is illustrated especially in the search for Sita that Hanuman does. And so Hanuman has gone to Lanka. It's been a stupendous mission. He has single-handedly leapt across, overcome many obstacles, then sneaked into Lanka, managed to remain undetected, and searched through all the palaces, and he can't find Sita anywhere, and he's sinking into the depths of despair. See, generally, the more effort we put in doing something, the more invested we become in it. And then, if we think there's no result coming over here, it can become very depressing. Okay, if we try something and it doesn't work, we just go for a program in the neighborhood and nobody comes for the program, that's okay. But if we travel from one corner of the world to another corner of the world to try to share Krishna Bhakti, we have put in a lot of effort and then no result comes. It can be very disheartening. So Hanuman is getting disheartened. He searched everywhere. He's wondering, what has happened? Has Ravan devoured Sita? Has Sita ended her life in hopelessness that she's not going to be rescued? What am I going to do? He has searched in the darkness of the night and still it's dark. There was a moon before, but the moon is clouded now. And there is darkness all around. And the darkness outside reflects the darkness in his heart, where he just doesn't know what to do. And he starts thinking. There's a very human-like depiction of the thought process of Hanuman. He starts thinking that if I can't find Sita, what is going to happen? How can I go back and face Lord Ram and tell him I couldn't find Sita? If I tell that to Lord Ram, he will not be able to live. He will end his life. If he ends his life, then Sugriv won't be able to live. If Sugriv ends his life, then the entire Kishkindha, the entire monkey kingdom will not be able to survive. If Lord Ram ends his life, then Bharat in Ayodhya will not be able to survive. If Bharat doesn't survive, then the entire Ayodhya will not be able to survive because of separation from Ram and Bharat. It is in this way, he says, my failure to find Sita will lead to two entire kingdoms being destroyed. He says, I cannot let that happen. He says, I will rather die trying to find Sita than go back. And when in the depth of that darkness, that resolve comes, that I am going to keep trying whether I succeed or fail.
He just holds on to that determination. And at that time, suddenly, the clouds part and the moon comes. And the moon, although it's setting, still its rays are bright. And in the last setting rays of the moon, he sees there's a garden nearby. He starts thinking, hey, I've searched all the palaces, but I haven't searched any gardens. And it is in that garden that he finds Sita. So, we see eventually Prabhupada also came to America. Prabhupada actually came on a 2-month visa. And he initially was trying and nothing seemed to be working. And Prabhupada told at times, many times when he would think, you know, maybe I should just go back. And Prabhupada waited and tried and waited and tried. And in one sense, the moment of the darkest distress for him was when he was attacked by his roommate, this David Allen, who was supposed to become his disciple, and suddenly, in a drug-induced mania, he attacked Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had to just leave. He was on the streets, as homeless as all the hippies lying on the ground, as homeless as the birds on the tree, roofs of the homes, the crows there. And Prabhupada, at that time, could easily have gone back. But Prabhupada said, let me try. I want to do something. And then Prabhupada said, there's some students coming to his place. So Prabhupada called one of those students. Prabhupada called Michael Grant, who became Mukund Maharaj. And then Prabhupada relocated to another place. And at that place, slowly more people and serious people started coming. So that particular thing, that tadgati vigna, there will be obstacles in the path of everyone in life. Tadgati vigna dvamsakarama. If we just maintain our remembrance of the Lord, my dear Lord, I want to serve you. The Prabhupada would say the best prayer that we can offer to the Lord is, my dear Lord, how can I serve you? It is not that I don't want to serve you. I want to serve you, but I don't know how. How can I serve you? So if we have that mood, this is Hanuman was empowered, we will also be empowered. And that brings me to the last part. So the bhakti mood is that no matter how big the obstacles are there in this world, the Lord is bigger. The Lord can remove obstacles. Just as He did for Hanuman, just as He did for Srila Prabhupada. And the last part is, from the Gaudiya Vaishnava perspective, I'll just speak one point over here. The Gaudiya Vaishnava, while Gaudiya Vaishnavism is a vast philosophy, but the key principle is that presence in absence. That is the essence of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that the Lord, when He is absent, that is when His presence becomes more and more manifest in the heart. So when the gopis are separated from Krishna because Krishna has gone away from them, at that time, Krishna actually enters deeper and deeper into their hearts. So that same mood is there in the Valmiki Ramayana and the Sundar Kand. Like I said, what is so beautiful about the Sundar Kand? Why is it so attractive? From a dramatic point of view, it's adventurous. What a single Hanuman does. But from a devotional perspective, it is the time when Hanuman meets Sita. And Hanuman starts speaking the glories of Ram. Now Sita is in the clutches of the demons. And once she has already fallen prey to the disguise of someone. Ravan came disguised as a sage. And therefore she's careful. She's leery, suspicious to some extent. And when here, this person, this strange creature is here, and he says, I'm a messenger of Ram. Sita is naturally suspicious. So what does she do? Well, Hanuman do? Hanuman starts singing the pastimes of Ram. And as he keeps speaking, he starts from generally known pastimes toward more and more intimate pastimes. And eventually when he speaks a pastime that is known only, it is the interaction between her and Ram, that even Lakshman does not know. When Hanuman speaks that, that is the time when Sita is convinced. He is sent by Ram. And then when both of them meet and both of them talk, at that time, the greatest devotee of Ram and the greatest servant of Ram,
The consort of Ram and the servant of Ram, both of them meet. And that is the time, in the absence of Lord Ram, his presence is felt the most. So that love in separation, that presence in absence, is manifested even in the Ramayana to some extent. And for us, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Goswamis explain that among the various avatars, Krishna is the greatest because the love is manifest the most. But there are other Paravastha avatars, Narasimha and Rama. So one reason why Ram is especially special is because that intimate mood of love is there. And when Srila Prabhupada, he came to America, he left just before Janmashtami. He celebrated Janmashtami on the ship. And then he came to America, the first Gaur Purnima that he celebrated over here. He writes in his diary that all my God brothers in Mayapur Vrindavan will be relishing the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I am all alone over here. Nobody knows even about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he says, I am here because it is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mission of my Guru Maharaj. So Prabhupada said, I have never felt even for one moment separated from my spiritual master. Prabhupada explained that presence in absence. That is experience through the attitude of service. When we are eager to serve the Lord, then even if we are far away from the Lord, we experience His presence. So just as Hanuman experienced enriching presence, and then eventually was rewarded by the embrace of the Lord. So for us, that embrace may be far away. In our tradition also it is described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. When the Gop Kumar goes back to the spiritual world, at that time the Lord embraces him. In fact, it is described, the Lord becomes so ecstatic. And on seeing the Gop Kumar, the Lord faints. So like Krishna loses his Krishna consciousness. That embrace is waiting for all of us. The Lord wants us to be united with Him. Till that time, it is our aspiration to experience presence in absence, to cultivate devotion in separation. And through so, to Lord Ram, we all can pray that He blesses us with that same devotion, that same strength that He blessed Hanuman with. So I'll quickly summarize. I discussed three main points today. We discussed from a Vedic perspective that what is the concept of the avatar? Avatar descends to inspire the human ascent. So it is not just establish order here, dharma here, but it inspire prema, love, bhakti culminating in love. That's the broad Vedic understanding. Now within that, the Vaishnava understanding is that when we go up bhakti, it is not just for merging. It is not at all for merging, in fact. It is for serving eternally. And in this service, the Lord empowers the devotee. So that empowers devotee, that means the devotee does wonderful things. That empowerment of the devotee we saw in Hanuman's mood of, he has his folded hands conveys shakti, and then, his folded hands conveys bhakti, and the mace in his hand conveys his shakti, his strength. So we want to bring about inner change in our hearts, and in the mood of service, we also want to bring about outer change. And then I discussed from the Gaudiya Vaishnava perspective, so that it's presence in absence, love in separation. That is the essential mood. So we discuss how Hanuman and Sita meet. That is like the devotional culmination, the climax, highest, richest presence of the Lord is there. Now eventually there will be the embrace that comes. The eternal embrace of the Lord will be there. But till we get to that embrace, the service in separation is what we all need to cultivate. So, if we will all face many obstacles in our lives, but if we maintain the remembrance of the Lord will guide us through all those obstacles to attain Him ultimately. So, let's recite once more this verse and we'll conclude. Together. Kapivara santata samsmrita rama tadgati vigna dvamsaka rama. Shri Ramachandra Bhagwan ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Dai Gaur Premanande. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Do we have time for questions? Yes, ma'am. We have a mic or you can speak.
Thank you very much.